is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Hey folks, it is the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. MJ here with the crew. I got Fester, I got Roxanne. Froggy's still from home. I think, Froggy, you're due back live in studio tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
All right. Now, nobody in your family other than your son got the COVID. Is that correct? Did you guys manage to keep it just inside your little 9-year-old's body and not spread it among everyone else?
Yes, we were very diligent when it came to that.
All right, so you didn't go to the
He's been in the hole.
You didn't go to the Joe Rogan show, right?
Oh, God, no.
Now, where was that? Joe Rogan, you know, the stand-up comedian and worm eater, and I mean, that's when I think of Joe Rogan, I think of Fear Factor, right?
That's where he got his launch. That's where I first heard of him.
He hosted the show. Because, I don't think he ate much worms.
I know. He hosted the Fear Factor deal. He was at Amelie. And then when was he?
He was at Amelie Arena.
When?
I'm trying to confirm, but I believe it was Friday.
So Friday night at Amelie?
And then he was at the Amway Center on
That's Orlando.
Saturday. Right, yes.
So maybe, I don't know. I just didn't know that he was in town. So Joe Rogan, who was in town, he started feeling awful over the weekend, I guess, and he came down with COVID-19. So do you have a confirmed schedule?
Confirmed. He was there on Friday.
So Amelie Arena, downtown Tampa, on Friday night. Then he was at the Amway Center in Orlando on Saturday. And then he tests positive for COVID on Sunday. Yeah, I've got the story here off the...
He might have caught it somewhere in Tampa.
Yeah, I don't blame it on Tampa, though, because sometimes it's, what is it, a 2 to 3 to 5 day incubation?
And he might
don't
have,
blame poor Tampa.
He might have caught it at whatever one horse town he was at right before Tampa.
Yeah.
If people were close to him in Tampa, did he infect people? Did Joe Rogan come through here and infect people?
Oh, the super spreader.
Yeah, Joe Rogan super spreader. Exactly. And, of course, Joe Rogan has been pretty anti-vaccine. For at least himself. And did he get in trouble like a couple of months ago? Or did he get a lot of heat for telling young people you don't need to get the vaccine? Yeah. Noted virologist Joe Rogan. The hell's he talking about?
Yeah, he said if you're like a 21-year-old kid, you probably don't have to worry about getting it.
Well, that's not true at all. And let's say that you get COVID-19 and you handle it just fine. It's spreading it to family members, you know, getting granny sick or other people sick. You know, that's, we're kind of in a hole here because, and the reason why we have the different mutations and variations is because everyone's not doing everything possible to try to stop the spread and curtail things. Yeah, so I've got the deets here.
Okay, so a September 4th appearance in New Orleans has been postponed.
Well, also,
for multiple reasons.
Yeah, how about the fact that they just had a hurricane, a Category 4, roll through just to the west of New Orleans? And you know, last I saw, like a million people were at one point out of power. I think they've restored some power to portions of New Orleans. But yeah, that might put a little damper on things that they just had a hurricane not far away from New Orleans. So, all right. So I got the story here just from the various, you know, entertainment sources and wire services. And he started to feel sick on Saturday night. That's great. So Saturday night he was in Orlando. So he's in Orlando and he's on stage and he's starting to feel sick when he got home from a series of comedy shows. So it says he started to feel weary Saturday night. He said, I felt run down. And just to be cautious, he says that he separated from his family, slept in a different part of the house, and then throughout the night he started getting the fevers, the chills, the sweats. And he
said, does his whole family sleep in the same bed?
Well, no, he obviously went to a different, just like what Froggy did with his kid. You know, they all kind of separated, and they quarantined off little Max, 9-year-old Max, in the house.
Yeah, that's right. But Froggy's family sleeps in the same bed.
Yeah, big giant bed.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
they so comfy.
They've got a room bed where you walk in the door, and it's just the whole room's a whole mattress. Yeah. Yeah. So then he took a COVID test on Sunday, and it came back positive. So we'll get into more details on Rogan, and then, you know, he took a... Oh, hang on a minute. Oof.
Just talking about all the sickness makes you want to sneeze.
I was about to sneeze, and God, I hate that. Don't you hate an incomplete sneeze?
Oh, yeah.
It feels like, you know, you've been robbed. Seriously. When you go to sneeze, and it's like, come on, you got to let it out. Come on, you got to get it out. And then...
It just vanishes.
And then it stops.
Yeah.
It disappears. It goes poof. And it feels like you just had the rug pulled out from under your feet. I've just been robbed.
Yeah, you've never been a robbery victim, have you?
Because that's just, it feels nothing like that. So, Froggy, to answer your question, what was that? That was me getting ready to sneeze. And right, then
you go,
I did. I went, just getting rolling. It's a loaded Thursday. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Early morons of the news on the way.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Yesterday, Gas Nozzle Man took flight. And, well, now it's all bogged down and legal.
Once we get the lawyers involved.
Oh, man. How did the lawyers get involved? Son of a... So, yesterday, Fester and our video crew went out on the street, and we shot the first pieces of... Gas Nozzle Man! And Gas Nozzle Man is simply, and you've probably heard us talk about it on the show, is we procured a gas nozzle from a gasoline service supply company, and it's exactly what it is. It's the gas nozzle from the gas station with 10 feet of black rubber hose, with even the metal fitting on the end and the whole shebang. And then Fester drove around yesterday with the gas nozzle hanging out of the gas tank on his 2004 Lincoln Town Car. And we're just videoing reactions of people that are saying, hey, there's a gas nozzle. So you guys got some great video. I saw the raw video. And then somehow our legal department is involved, and I don't know where this stands. So that's once you get legal involved, then you know all bets are off. It's like, oh my god,
really?
Yeah.
You know, before you do something, you kind of plan or you estimate how much fun you're going to have in this activity,
right?
We had so much more fun than we ever planned,
right?
We had a great time.
Dude, nobody got hurt.
It's a funny concept. Gas nozzle man. So now, yeah, who knows? I've been through this before. Remember the Harry Potter book thing?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Or the Fester Bridge jump when that got confiscated?
Confiscated. There's no N.
It's confiscated. Stupid.
There's only one N. It's confiscated.
Oh, you are so silly.
Froggy says it the old English way.
It's not confiscated.
He says it the nasally way.
It's confiscated, Froggy. Are you doubting my correcting you on the pronunciation?
I'm pretty sure it's confiscated.
What?
I'm pretty sure it's confiscated.
now you're mumbling through the word?
Oh, my God.
Ladies like mumblers.
Yeah. That's keep right. Mumbling.
So the lawyers now are involved. So I'm at the whim of legal now on... Listen, lawyers, they suck the fun out of everything involving radio. I'm telling you right now. Do you remember? We did the Harry Potter theme. Roxanne, you don't even know about
that. No, I want to hear about it, though.
So we did the Harry Potter shoot 'em up.
How do you go from Harry Potter to shoot 'em up?
Well, so that was due to the aftermath. All right, here's what happened. I got a hot tip from a listener. And by the way, folks, I encourage all of our listeners, if you ever have a hot tip, if you ever want to, you know, supply any content for the show, if you have an idea, if you just want to respond, email me. My email is open 24 hours a day, mj@mjmorningshow.com. Anything you want to let me know, you got a little secret you want to tell, you got a hot tip, some gossip, anything you want us to know, just send me an email. It'll remain confidential. mj@mjmorningshow.com. So I got an email, and this was back when Harry Potter was huge, and whenever the books came out, people were like waiting in line for, you know, 2 days. And I had an email or a listener that said, hey, I can get you a case of Harry Potter books early. I think they worked at a bookstore, and they're like, oh, they're already in stock, we have them, but we can't open the case. So the guy got me a whole case of books. And what he said he was going to do was, he knew how many books were in the case. He knew what the retail price was. He was going to give me the case. I gave him the cash. And then he was going to ring those up the day of the sale, so the money got into the system. So I got a whole case of Harry Potter books, and we did a whole on-air promotion. Hey, we've got Harry Potter, the next book, whatever the hell it was, and we're going to give them away on the MJ Morning Show. Anyway, the publisher was what, Scholastic?
They flipped out.
Oh, my God. So we talked about it on the air that I got Harry Potter like a week early, and we're going to start giving them. And they freaked out. They dispatched like all kinds of goons to our radio station, and they threatened our radio station. They threatened our company, and then corporate caved in. The legal eagles, the lawyers, they yanked the promotion. They demanded that I had to give the books back. They sent Scholastic Book School police or whatever the hell.
They sent the bookworm nerds.
Sent these goons to the radio station.
Bloomsbury Publishing.
No, it was Scholastic back in the day. Yeah, so
I thought Scholastic was the school books.
No, I'm telling you, I think it was Scholastic.
It wasn't Bloomsbury.
Bloomsbury. Then maybe
Pottermore Publishing continues to be the global digital publisher.
I think it was Scholastic. So they send this whole goon squad and corporate over at Clear Channel at the time. They made us give the whole case of books back, but I snaked one. I took one, and then we went to a shooting range. And we used a machine gun, and we blasted the whole Harry Potter book to shreds.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
I don't know how this happens in this day and age, but a homeless dude broke through a gate at LAX and boarded an American Airlines flight. Do you remember the old lady? There was that, where was she? Was she also out in California? That old lady that was a habitual serial a gate crasher, and she got through TSA. She got onto planes.
Pre-9/11?
No, this is like last week.
Really?
Yeah, okay. She was busted.
I mean, how do you do that now?
It was pre-9/11, 2021.
It wasn't just last week, but the last time, it was like just a couple of months ago.
Really?
How does a 66-year-old woman keep sneaking on flights?
That's it.
Marilyn Hartman's from a couple of years ago.
No, that's her. That's the woman. But that's a story from 2 years ago. Marilyn Hartman, but she was just busted. Roxanne, look it up.
Okay.
Marilyn Hartman. Airport, and you're going to find a story from just in the past couple of months. I mean, they put her in some kind of a home. I'm trying to remember the story. See if we can find the last one.
She's a serial stowaway.
She is. Chicago. That's right. It's Chicago O'Hare. I think that was the most frequent airport where she was getting past TSA. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you do it? And not only past TSA, she's getting past gate agents. What was the last story?
The one I'm looking at right now. Right? Oh, no, this is an old one. That was Chicago. Yeah. But she went Chicago to London.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
She's been doing it since 2009.
Yes.
So,
I mean, that's hard to get through that kind of security, international.
Find the last story. That woman, I'm telling you, she got busted again. It's just in the last couple of months.
Here we go. Serial stowaway arrested again from March.
Right. There we go. March. Okay, so March.
O'Hare.
March of this year, a woman notorious for evading airport security and sneaking aboard planes without a ticket was arrested this week in Chicago days after she was heard in a splashy TV news report promising that such escapades were behind her. Called the serial stowaway by local news media, the woman, Marilyn Hartman, was arrested Tuesday at O'Hare International Airport. And this was from March. It was just a couple of months ago. This woman's been doing this for like over a decade, and they can't stop her.
Right, she's completely addicted to this.
Oh, the lady, you know, clear, she's got, you know, mental problems, obviously. So now we have a story from LAX. A homeless man managed to breach a fence at Los Angeles International Airport and board an American Airlines flight. So how does that happen? The guy climbed over the fence at LAX and was just, what, walking across the taxiway, walking across the ramp, and then is able to board a plane? What did he, how did he get on the plane? Did he use the door? You know, they have that little stairway. When you go over the jetway, you know, when you're turning to get onto the airplane, there's that little door where the pilots can walk down, and because they've got to do the walk around to check out their jet. I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but before every single flight, either the captain or the first officer, they actually do what they call a walk around, and they walk down the stairway from the jetway, and they have a whole checklist, and they check the tires, they check all the flaps, and they do a walk around to see if everything visually is okay on the airplane. And I'm guessing the guy climbed over the fence at LAX and then was able to walk. How is that possible that no one sees a guy walking on a taxiway or a runway and then is able just to get onto an American Airlines flight? How is that possible? Matthew Main, 31, arrested on trespassing charge after he pried his way under a perimeter fence at LAX on Sunday, walking across the tarmac, boarding the aircraft, and then cleaners on the aircraft, because, you know, the airlines, they're doing an amazing job. You know, the whole cabin's been sanitized for your COVID-19 protection.
Yeah, sure it has.
So the cleaners, yeah, I don't trust that for one second.
No.
The cleaners on the airplane, they noticed this individual, they challenged him, reported him quickly, and they were able to arrest him fairly fast. Yeah, the airline said in a statement, the plane has been reinspected by security teams, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But for someone just to walk out there so easily is definitely concerning.
Yeah.
Said a spokesman for the L.A. Police Department. Oh, you think?
Yeah, he works for the Department of Obvious.
You think somebody that could just walk onto a plane climbing under or over a fence? Yeah, that would be concerning. I agree.
Just strolling out on the tarmac.
That's fine.
Oh, my God. So who are the morons in the news here? I got to say that it's LAX security that you couldn't identify a guy just climbing over a fence. Well,
I mean, the first competent airline employee that saw him challenged him and did the right thing, so kudos to them, but he got awfully far.
The cleaning crew, they were able to clean the intruder on the aircraft with their COVID-19 wipes. All right, hang on. Morons continues. Chunk 2 next. Yeah, we got good stuff today. It's the MJ Morning Show, Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Froggy, let me know if you concur, if you don't mind listening to the fact pattern here. And feel free to opine. Froggy, by the way, still at home, ladies and gentlemen, because his kid had COVID, and, well, the whole family managed to remain COVID-free, which is fantastic. Froggy should be back in the studio live tomorrow. All right, what do you do? I want to pose a question to the crew here. What do you do? What do you do if you go into a convenience store and your credit card is declined. All right, Roxanne, you go into a convenience store, credit card declined. What do you do?
I hopefully have another one with me and try a different card.
No. No. Stupid answer.
Oh, okay.
Terrible.
All right. Fester, what would you do?
I was recently in a store and my credit card just didn't go through.
And?
And I got super defensive. I'm like, well, it's obviously your equipment. There's plenty of money.
Pull out wads of cash.
No, you're wrong. You're a moron.
I don't carry cash anymore.
Coop, our producer, what would you do? Your credit card's declined in a convenience store. What do you do?
This has happened to me way too many times. Right? But you just hold your head up high and you leave.
No.
You go home.
Froggy, when was the last time your credit card was turned down?
Hello, Froggy?
His mic is turned down.
Froggy, are you? Hello? Come in, Froggy. Froggy. Oh, it says he's muted. Froggy is...
Is he muted?
I don't know. Froggy is not at home right now.
Okay.
All right, Froggy is checked out of the show. You see, we can't see Froggy. All right. No, you're all incorrect. You're all wrong. This is out of Wytheville, Virginia.
What a dumb name for a town. Wytheville?
Man goes into a Sheetz convenience store. I've been in Sheetz convenience stores. Sheetz. You know, like a Wawa, like a Thornton's. Sheetz.
You're right, and there's one right next to a church, and it's called Holy...
Yeah, no. Well, you took my joke away. Holy Sheetz. You took the joke away.
That can't be a proprietary joke. I mean, it's so obvious.
That was mine. I had that trademarked, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So this is about 3:30 in the morning. This is on Tuesday. So just a couple of days ago, 3:30 in the morning, the police in Wytheville, Virginia, they're called to the Sheetz convenience store. A customer just had his credit card declined. He left the store, returned with a gas can, poured the contents of the gas can on the floor, then set it on fire. Lit it up.
Oh, my God.
Walked out of the store and drove away. See, that's how you handle a declined credit card at a convenience store. That's what you do.
You might feel like doing that.
All you guys had really stupid answers. No, that's how you handle this. Can you imagine that? The store manager then was able to, luckily, grab a fire extinguisher, put out the fire. I think we've got actual sound from... Oh, there it is. Yep. And he was screaming, holy Sheetz, in the convenience store. Guy drives off. The cops then, the local police, the sheriff's office in Virginia, the Virginia State Police, they start searching for the guy. And they found the car in an apartment complex not far away. Then, shortly after that, a deputy saw a male subject under a tractor trailer near a Lowe's store. The guy was armed with a hammer. Stop. We have a time. Okay. There was a brief standoff. Yeah. The cops had guns. This guy had a hammer. And then they finally tased the guy and they arrested the dude.
Have a time.
Thank you. Yeah, the guy, he stood up and yelled at the cops.
Stop. Have a time.
Good job there, Coop. Kyle Mabe, 40, charged with felony arson, felony burglary, felony destruction of property. Dude, this guy's going to get like 10 years in Virginia state prison.
All he had to do is be like Coop and walk out with his head held high.
That's right.
That's right. That's what you do.
Is that unbelievable? Your credit card is declined, so you go out to your car, you get a gas can, you pour it on the floor in the Sheetz convenience store, and you light the place up? My God.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
I will get to the bizarre item, the update on the crazy item found in a Wawa parking lot. Adjacent to an intersection where I guess something happened prior. And then also we got Froggy's issue here. Hold on. I'll get to the crazy item in a second. Let me get Froggy on because I tried to go to Froggy in the last segment and Froggy was MIA. Froggy was absent and I didn't even hear the background noise. So Froggy's mic at home was muted. And of course, Froggy out for the last week and a half because his oldest son came down with the COVID at school. and the whole family quarantined. Luckily, his 9-year-old kid, who had some minor symptoms, only wanted to test positive in the house. Everyone else, Kim, Froggy's wife, Froggy, their other younger son, everything fine. Froggy, what just happened? Why were you not here in the last segment?
My kid yacked up his waffle on the kitchen table.
What?
He puked it up. He was just eating too fast. He's all anxious about going to school, and he was like... And I went and smacked him in the back, and he goes... And it just sort of yacked up on the table.
Wait a sec. Was he choking on the waffle, and you performed like a semi-Heimlich maneuver?
I just had to smack him on the back once.
Yeah, that's really effective, by the way.
And it came up.
What, was he choking?
I think it was a little over dramatic choke. It was sort of like, you know, I'm sort of choking, but not really.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, until you abuse him and then he vomits.
Well, I don't know if that was a real excuse for you to miss the last segment.
Well, I had to clean up the yak. I had to calm him down. He was crying.
You can do your fatherly duties. Yeah. MJ, this might be a good time for you to bring up that story I sent you like a week ago. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I have that. Hold on a sec. Let me grab that. Hang on.
Remember that one?
Yeah, hang on. It's in my
bag.
This is a thing.
This is a real thing.
You sent him a story about barfing up waffles?
No, seriously. This is unbelievable. Roxanne sends me the story about emetophobia, and then Michelle, my lovely wife, she sent me the same story. It's like the two women in my life, Roxanne on the MJ Morning Show and my wife, send me the same story.
The same disgusting story.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not going to squeeze this. And now, I guess now I can squeeze it in.
Okay, emetophobia. When you hear that, when I hear that, I hear, I never met a phobia I didn't like. Right? I mean, you don't know what that has to be.
Anyway, this emetophobia story, you guys both sent me the link. It was a USA Today story like a week ago. And it's about emetophobia. And there are people that are definitely afraid to throw up, or the fear of other people throwing up. There are people that go through life and they are.
That's a real thing, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it is.
You see people reversing. You just want to leave the room. Get me out of here.
All right. I want the record to show that Roxanne brought me this story, and so did my wife, Michelle.
Guilty.
Yeah, both of you guys. But I kind of put it in the bag, in the back burner. I'm like, where do I squeeze in a morning show throw-up story?
How do you segue? Now's the perfect segue.
So emetophobia derives from the word emit, means to remove from one's body. Emit it. Oh God.
Emetophobia.
I typed it into Google. It says extreme fear.
All right. Yeah. So it's people that are deathly afraid that they're going to hurl, or that other people are going to hurl. And there are people that go through life, and this is the thing. There was a 6-page story on USAtoday.com about emetophobia.
That's a slow news day around there. Well, time to bring out the throwing up story.
It's an anxiety fear, obviously. In a video online, Lacey Bibby says she started experiencing it after listening to her father having... reversal issues. I don't know why I get so panicked. Folks, it's like emetophobia's impact on people's daily lives.
But just to hear people talk about it, or if you hear someone start to gag.
But the point is that people go through their life every single day, and every minute they're thinking of, oh my God, I can't throw up. I better not throw up. They better not throw up. It's like, you're like inside a restaurant. You're at work, and you're fearful that your cubicle mate is going to hurl. Okay. I mean,
I've never met anybody where it's consumed by emetophobia, but I know people who are very aware of it. Where if you have one little, they're like, whoa, back it up.
Take that elsewhere.
But that's it. There are people that are consumed by this. Absolutely consumed by this.
I think throwing up is scary. Don't you?
I just throw up the drop of a hat.
Again, I want the record to show Roxanne brought me this story, and so did my wife. I want the record to show that.
It's one of my 7 favorite things to do.
Unbelievable. I mean, I didn't get to the item in the convenience store parking lot. All right, I got to push it off to the next segment. All right, it's the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
I promise, we just got a little distracted. I'm sorry for the delay, folks. An update on the bizarre item found in a Wawa parking lot. There's a little more to the story, but this is really bizarre. And first thing today, I looked up to see if there was an update. We talked about this late in the show yesterday. So this was toward the end of the show. This has to be one of the strangest things that you would just happen to find on the side of the road. A full-sized casket, a coffin.
Not something you see every day.
No, this is at a Wawa outside of Philadelphia. This is what, Lower Southampton. And the coffin first appeared a few days ago on the roadway outside a Wawa. Now, luckily, no one was in the coffin. It was found at the intersection of Street Road and Busselton Pike. So it was found right at the intersection, and then the Wawa's right there on the corner, I guess. So they then put the coffin in the Wawa parking lot, and they try to figure out how the hell does a coffin... Coop, do you have the image? Do you have the story still up on our website?
Yep, still right there, mjmorningshow.com.
If you go to our website, when you get a chance, you know, don't do it while you're driving, please. When you get to a safe spot, if you're driving or if you're not driving, go to mjmorningshow.com. It's up on our website. And it is a white coffin with brass fittings and trim. It is a full-blown funeral coffin.
It's a bedazzled coffin. It's like
a really, really nice coffin.
It's super nice.
It's not bedazzled.
I say bedazzled when things are beautiful, so that's a bad term. No,
bedazzled is when you use...
Dazzling.
Cheap, what?
Dazzling
coffin. Yeah, bedazzled is when you have those cheap little fake glass diamonds and all the little... You know, glass beads, and you glue it onto
dazzling.
Stuff.
Yeah.
This is a very ornate coffin.
It is.
It has gold handles on. It's really, really fancy.
Thank you. And it's just, you could not miss it.
And the update on the coffin is, it's been taken to the local police department, and they're asking that anyone that might have lost a coffin, that you come on by and pick it up. Now, you're saying, how the hell did a coffin... get to the intersection right next to a Wawa? How does this happen? The best speculation is that it fell off a truck. Did they have any traffic cameras there that might have captured this?
I mean, the Wawa has surveillance on their entire property, don't they?
Well, you'd think.
Yeah, right?
But a lot of cities, look, when you drive around town, look at all the cameras that are sitting at intersections these days. I'm not talking about the red light runner cameras. I'm talking about, just look up on top of the traffic light structures, and you'll see like video cameras up there. So is there video? So they believe
like a practical joke.
It's a morning show bit.
I mean, if a midget would have jumped,
really,
then I would agree. Listen,
we're doing Gas Man with Fester, and then I just unraveled another idea. What do you think of drive-through trash man? Do you like that?
I'm less in love with this idea.
All right, hold on. I got to reveal another great concept I have. We're still trying to get Gas Man approved by legal. We're all caught up in legal in the last 12 hours.
We haven't found anybody to give us a calf. Cow.
Oh, that's true. That's another thing.
Got a lot of things cooking.
Yeah, but the coffin is currently sitting in the impound garage at the police station, and they're looking for the owner of the coffin. How do you lose a coffin? And not like say, oh, we're missing a coffin. Let me call the police and see if someone found the coffin. They think it fell off a truck at the intersection. And this is what's amazing. Back in 2014.
Oh, no.
A body bag and a gurney with somebody inside fell out of a mortuary van and ended up in the same intersection. And they drove off. They drove off with this body in a bag on a gurney in the middle of the intersection.
What are the odds?
I don't know. So,
two body coffin related things in the same intersection in a decade.
Exactly.
So we've got some texters reminding us of the difference between coffins and caskets. The story is describing it as a coffin, but I do believe it's a casket.
All right, you tell those nerds to just pipe down. We know what we're talking
about. Listen, it's not a coffin. It's a sarcophagus. Hey,
quick jewelry story here. I got a jewelry item, and I asked you to look something up. Did they find the earring? Is that a yes or a no?
No.
They didn't.
There's some clues.
Okay, I've been wondering about this. Did you see the story? Javier Baez, and we don't do a lot of baseball news here, but Javier Baez with the New York Mets, right? He had a walk-off home run on Tuesday afternoon, and during the celebration at home plate, or his slide, or did he slid? What, he slid head first into, was it a walk-off home run? Yeah. So he slides into home plate. The guy lost a big diamond stud earring that was in his earlobe. And the jewelry question is, should a professional ball player really be wearing expensive jewelry? So they couldn't find it. The grounds crew spent like an hour digging and sifting through all the dirt and sand at home plate at Citi Field in New York, and they can't find the diamond. They have no idea where the damn diamond is.
Yeah, there's a lot of ball players that have gold chains on,
exactly,
or earrings
so,
on.
I mean, as a professional ball player, whether you're a baseball player, should you really be out there with jewelry on?
Look up Jazz Chisholm, because he plays for the Marlins, who they were playing. The Mets were playing the Marlins when that happened. And he has so much gold around his neck.
Really?
I always think, like, how are you doing
that? You should not be wearing expensive jewelry if you're a professional athlete. And you're prone to sliding or physical contact with other players if you're in a different sport. I'll tell you what happened. Who were they playing? I don't even know who they were playing.
The Marlins.
So
it was the Miami Marlins and the New York
and the New York Mets. I'll tell you what happened. You got to search the catcher for the Marlins. He probably pocketed the diamond earring, and he's not giving it back.
That's right. Good for him.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
I'm high on you. Remember that lyric. That's going to be the second thing we're going to get to in this segment. High. What are you laughing at, Fester?
I know you're going with the Amazon driver.
You know where I'm going with it? All right, hang on a minute.
It's so appropriate.
Remember, I'm high on you. All right, MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 7:39, rolling up on 7:40. I got Michelle on the phone to assist in the library racket. There's a library scam, and Froggy, I believe, unbeknownst to you, I think your wife, Kim, is sort of in on this racket because Michelle was having a conversation with Kim. But it turned out that Michelle also heard this from another good friend of ours. And I thought that I had never heard of this. Hang on. Michelle's joining us from the bedroom. Hello, Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning.
My lovely wife, Michelle. All right. The library e-reader racket. Now, tons of people use the e-readers. I guess what? The Kindle is probably the most used, but people, you know, obviously do e-books on their iPads, etc.
Or your iPhone, even.
Yeah, I see people read on airplanes. I see people reading on their smartphones as well. All right, so Michelle, what is the e-reader library scam that you just became aware of?
Well, apparently, when you check the book out and you download it to your e-reader, you know, you only can have it for a certain period of time, just like a regular book. But if you turn your data off or put your e-reader in airplane mode, then the library is unable to retrieve the book from your e-reader.
All right, so in this modern day and age, libraries, it's not just the, those antiquated books with paper and pages you got to turn. With the modern age of computers, obviously, libraries offer the e-reader copies, but there are only a certain number of e-reader licenses that a library can check out. So if you check out a book and it's due back, the e-reader version technically is due back as well, so that it can be put back in the hopper and people can then check out the e-reader again. So this is a racket. So did you hear this from Froggy's wife, Michelle?
Well, yes, but also from someone else that we know who's apparently a very slow reader.
So Michelle heard this from like two people in like 1 week about the e-reader racket. And then a friend of ours, Mark, what did Mark tell you?
he just shuts his device off so they can't retrieve it, so he can read the book, you know, for months. Sometimes
well, hold on. Isn't that completely counterproductive? I mean, as soon as you turn it on, doesn't the airplane mode deactivate?
No. This is the...
you leave it on.
On the e-reader. So it's not your phone or your iPad.
Oh,
for a dedicated e-reader, you turn off the data, so then the book is on there, and the library can't take it back.
Right.
So that's... And Froggy, apparently your
pretty
wife...
smart.
Apparently your wife does this, Froggy. Froggy didn't even know about this, right?
She's finally learning some things from me.
What a hot scam your wife has cooking. She borrows an e-book for three extra days.
So, folks, that is the library e-reader racket. People turning their data off.
What a disappointment.
What?
What a petty little scam.
It is.
Oh, whatever.
I thought you were funneling like late fees.
Cups.
I thought you were funneling late fees to like a secret account offshore.
All right, Michelle, love you, sweetie. I'll talk to you later.
Alrighty, bye-bye. All right.
And then, what'd I say? What was the word that I wanted you to remember?
Hi.
Yes, I'm high on you, and how does this apply to Amazon drivers? Doing prep last night, I stumbled across a story from Bloomberg, you know, the business website, Bloomberg News.
Never heard of them.
And, and this is crazy. Amazon is having a driver shortage. Like many businesses, there's a labor shortage in the country. And with Amazon clearly exploding, Jeff Bezos, the richest guy in the freaking universe, there's a shortage of Amazon drivers. Listen to this. Amazon.com Incorporated has a solution for potentially crippling labor shortage of delivery drivers. Now they're telling their companies that advertise for delivery partners, and we're talking about like the subcontractors.
Yeah, all the independent contractors that drive Amazon vans.
To advertise that they don't screen applicants for marijuana use. So that's the new deal, apparently.
That's a perk.
Yeah. So really, does that open up a whole bunch of liability that here you're actively saying, hey, you want to drive for Amazon? We don't screen for marijuana usage.
Wink, wink.
No, I mean, you're not supposed to be high on the job, but if you imbibe like in the evening and it's still in your system, you're out the job.
They're advising the delivery partners, the mom and pops that operate the blue Amazon vans and the subcontractors, to prominently advertise they don't screen applicants for marijuana use. And you got a lot of business owners. They're concerned. They're saying, man, this opens up all kinds of insurance issues, legal liability risks. So,
what about meth?
That's encouraged because that makes people move faster. Oh, yeah. It's all about efficiency.
You would not believe Larry's on meth. You would not believe how many packages he delivered last hour.
Driver of the month, Larry. Yes, good job,
Larry. Meth.
You get free dental work,
Larry. The meth head
prize.
Unbelievable. It's the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Before I move on to the idiotic internet things that have merged to create one giant pile of internet slop and idiocy, before I get to that, a quick update just developed. Hey, Froggy, your wife Kim apparently heard the last segment while driving your youngest son Luke to school. And Luke asked your wife, Kim, I just got included in a group text with your wife, my wife, and me, and Luke heard the segment about the library e-reader racket, where you can check out the digital e-reader version of a book, and then to keep it longer, in case you're a slow reader, you just turn the data off on your e-reader so they can't retrieve it, they can't take it off. And Luke, how old is Luke, Froggy?
He is a 6-year-old little man.
So Luke heard it and asked your wife, are you going to be arrested, Mommy?
I mean, traumatic.
Luke, the honest answer is yes. I mean, she's probably going to go at least to county jail for a while.
There's going
to
be a wanted poster.
And if you're just tuning in, last segment, just a quick recap. And this is crazy. My wife, Michelle, in the last week, heard this from Kim, Froggy's wife. They talk. And then a friend of ours, Mark, that, and I don't know how it came up, just coincidentally, that when you check out a digital version of a book at the library, you put it on your Kindle, whatever, and you only have a certain amount of time to read it, you turn the data off so it can't cancel, so you can keep it forever if you want. So that's the story about the e-reader racket if you check out a digital version from your library, and your son thinks that your wife and his mother is going to jail.
Dude, she might go away. You never know.
MJ, and to your friend Mark, I don't know that he'd hold up in prison.
No, he would not.
I mean, I really don't think that. No.
Although he'd be entertained, because that's all you do is read books in prison, and he's such a slow reader.
That's not all you do in prison, Ross.
No, he would not. No. Quick update.
That's not it.
Quick update on Gas Nozzle Man. Gas Nozzle Man, the maiden voyage yesterday, a Fester driving around with a gas nozzle hanging out from his car, so it appears like he just drove off from a gas station and snapped the gas nozzle and the hose off of the pump and is driving around with it hanging out of his gas tank. The video's great, but we're all tangled up in corporate legal right now. Corporate radio legal folks, they do everything possible to, sap the fun out of crap. So hopefully we'll have a resolution and we'll be able to post the video of Fester as Gas Nozzle Man, by the end of the show. So heads up, I'll bring you breaking details the minute it happens. All right. Internet idiocy. What are two things? Now, Roxanne, you know the answer to this, right?
I don't think I do. No.
All right, Fester, do you know the answer to this?
No.
All right, Froggy, do you know the answer to this? Two internet idiotic... You know this?
Yes.
How do you know it?
I'm just kidding. I don't know it.
Okay.
I just wanted to be different.
All right, Coop, do you know it?
No.
All right, guys...
When's the milk crate challenge?
That's what I was thinking, too.
Here's the setup.
Good guess.
All right. Two idiotic things on the internet have now merged, and you think the first one is the milk crate challenge, correct?
Yes. I can't imagine what the other one is.
That is correct. Yes. All right. Yes. What is the other internet idiotic thing that could have merged with the milk crate challenge?
Well, Tide Pods aren't hot right now, but if you ate Tide Pods and did the milk crate challenge, that would be very, very bad.
You are correct. But that's not what I'm looking for. But that is a good answer. Good answer. Good answer. Fester?
I was thinking something eating as well. Like
Hold on. Before I do the big reveal.
Anybody? The gender stuff. The gender reveals.
Yes.
Oh, you gave him a hint.
All right. So, some couple, they have combined the milk crate challenge. So they built the pyramid. The milk crates. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is the peak, and then the stairway down 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So their whole gimmick here is to have the father to be to do the milk crate challenge while holding a box with either blue or pink powder. And I guess the guy collapses and then the box goes flying and it reveals blue powder. So it's a boy. Here's the audio of these idiots. And the father-to-be hits his head, smacks his head, the blue powder goes flying. Father's in a coma right now with a serious brain injury.
Right, so
What's all that red stuff mean? Yeah. Blood.
Now exactly. Baby boy can watch that video when he's older and understand why dad doesn't feel like going out and throwing a ball with him because he's all beat up injuries.
By the way, the guy's not in a coma, but he did hit his head. He smacked his head. And there are folks that are saying, this is staged. Because they're saying that if you look at the mother-to-be's belly, that the baby bump is like up near her chin. It's like it's on top of her boobs. So folks are saying, you know what? This could be an internet setup gimmick. and not 100% real.
But I still like it.
Creative.
Two internet idiotic things all jammed together.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
This is Q105. All right. You like that? That was very DJ-like, wasn't it?
Well, like it was good.
Very angry DJ-ish.
Oh, really good. I like that.
Thank you very much, Maniac Marty. What a Froggy's characters.
Yeah, I was right.
Appreciate it, babe. All right, so before we get into this nightclub controversy, which started in Great Britain, and now the debate has crossed the pond here to America, there's a nightclub controversy, and something was said. We'll get to that in a second. First, though, just a quick little follow-up to the gender reveal milk crate challenge where this group of folks, they just took the two worst things on the internet, the stupid milk crate challenge. People are busting their butts. They're hurting themselves. And they combined it with a gender reveal. We've kind of dissected this video. And when you look at this video, it is totally fake and staged. You can see that some of the people that are cheering them on, it's almost like they're overdoing their excitement and hype. The mother, as some pointed out, the baby bump is just too unnatural and unrealistic. And then at the very end, you have all these people coming up to the camera like one after another, and it looks like it's just too choreographed and staged. It just doesn't appear to be real. Fester, you concur, right?
I concur.
Thank you, Doctor. I concur, Doctor, as well. Yes, Roxanne, do you concur?
I concur. It's very overdone, and the bump is way high. Now, they do say that boys, you carry them high, but that's too high.
Yeah, but on your lower jaw? Right,
come on. Give me on your collarbone, yes.
We have a nightclub controversy, and you know, I'm wondering if this offends anybody in this room or if any of our listeners would be offended by this. There is a Scottish singer who is 22 years old and has started a debate, and now it's being debated here in the U.S. So this singer, a 22-year-old singer by the name of, what is her name? Scottish singer. Her name is Charlotte...
Call her Kilt.
William Wallace.
Yeah, we'll call her Charlotte Kilt.
No, it's not. That's the presenter. Talia Storm.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so it's 22-year-old Scottish singer Talia Storm, and she was talking to the show hosts on Good Morning Britain. You know, that's their answer to Good Morning America. So this Talia Storm is on the TV program.
Yes, welcome to Good Morning Britain. Before we get to our toothbrushing segment, we're going to be talking to Talia Storm.
So this Talia Storm, this 22-year-old Scottish singer, says that older people should not be allowed to go to nightclubs.
Oh.
Or that older people should not go to nightclubs.
I think that just is like a self-governing system. Like, when you go there and you're too old, you feel it.
Well, that's the question here. So she is saying that older people should stay away and, quote, leave the nightclubs, leave the club nights to us youngsters. So
you can have them.
This is Talia Storm's big hit.
What is this?
It's Scotland the Brave.
What?
Scotland the Brave.
Is this her song? What?
No, this is just some Scottish song.
Oh, this is just
song.
Some Scottish bagpipe music?
Yeah.
That's the best you could do? I'm talking about a 22-year-old Scottish singer, and you find bagpipe music?
Actually, that's the best he could do, yes.
All right, great. All right, you can shut it off. Thank you.
So what's old?
Well, listen to this. She says, I love the thought of seeing everyone live their best lives. I'm here for it, but I'm 22 years old. I'm only just coming into my prime. I do not want to walk into a nightclub and see my dad's friends, or even my granddad. So she's suggesting that there should be a separate place for those over 40. That is the age that she's saying, like over 40. If you're 40 or older, you're too old to go to a nightclub. Really?
That's really limiting the crowd, isn't it?
I don't disagree with her. I mean, get your old ass out of the club.
She says, speaking from my own experience, 50 and 60-year-olds are not there to dance.
Yeah, she's right.
She says it's just kind of creepy, kind of cringy. They're... So,
It's all creepy.
So this has started a debate firestorm about older, I mean, 40 years old, older people. Come on. I mean, 40 is not old. Give me a freaking break. I mean,
when you're 22, 40 is ancient.
Oh,
it's so true. It's so true. So I was out with one of my girlfriends one time, and we started at one place, and everywhere we wanted to go wasn't closed or wasn't hot. And we ended up at like a bar that was like a college bar that was way too young for us.
Yeah.
And we're standing and waiting to get in. And she's like, oh my gosh, everyone's staring at us. And I'm like, yeah, they're staring at us because we're so old.
The phones.
21 years.
You know, the phones are ringing on this. I'll tell you what, let's go to phones next on this because I got to take a break, but the phones are ringing. You want to weigh in on this? 800-990-1047. Do you have a creepy nightclub story or what are your thoughts on this 22-year-old? All right, 800-990-1047. We'll go to some phones next here on the MJ Morning Show.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
A singer by the name of Talia Storm. And Fessy, you found like a YouTube video for some of her songs. Is that right?
Yeah, she's a beautiful young woman. She's pretty talented.
Well, I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder here. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I hate that term, but I did that intentionally. All right, so this Talia Storm, she's a 22-year-old singer, and she's ragging on older guys in nightclubs. And she essentially is saying, if you're 40 or older, you don't belong in a nightclub. Leave the nightclubs to us younger individuals. And that the older guys, they're not there to dance. They're there just to creep. And it's kind of cringy. All right, I want to go to phones here. I'd love to hear from younger women as well. If you're a woman, what happens when you see an older guy in a nightclub? And what do you consider old? So, ladies, I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to hear from ladies of all ages, women of all ages. But, you know, if you're in your 20s, if you're a woman in your 20s, do you agree that guys that are 40 and older should not go to nightclubs? The singer said, I don't want to see my dad there. All right, let's go to phones on this. 800-990-1047. I'd love to hear from younger women about older guys in nightclubs. 800-990-1047. You just smack your face into the microphone?
I did.
Oh my God. All right. 800-990-1047. That's 800-990-1047. Fire up the phones. Let's grab. Oh, this is good. Al is in St. Petersburg. Al, apparently a former club DJ in New York. Hello, Al. You're on the MJ Morning Show. Welcome.
MJ, how you doing this morning, my friend? You are the best.
Well, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you listening. Go ahead.
Well, I got to say first, my wife is listening, so I got to keep it a little on the down low.
Right.
Actually, I was, you know, for her being offended by older people in nightclubs, I was the DJ of New York, New York, which is down here.
Oh, New York, we New York, back on US 19.
Oh. Coop told me that, hold on a minute. Coop told me you were a DJ in New York.
I was as well. I've worked many of the circuits.
Oh, okay.
Including for one of your parent companies up there, same format station I worked on up there.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of live remotes. I was the DJ in these clubs, and I'm an older guy, okay? I was 39 at New York, New York down here.
Right.
And we could not keep 18-year-old and over to like 24, 25 away from the club. They kept trying to come in and party with us. Who do you think is playing the music for them to have a good time out there? It was us older guys. So I am offended by that. Extremely offended.
Well, okay. New York, New York was also a legendary place for some of the older ladies.
All right. Now, were younger ladies trying to pick up older guys as well? Or were older guys creeping on the younger ladies?
Oh, no. That's a gentle euphemism, the way you put that.
Yeah,
my flip
it around.
No,
New York, New York
it was
used
the
to
other
be.
Way around.
I'll tell you how.
Younger girls picking up on older guys all day long, all night long. That's what the creepy part was, not seeing your older dad in there. Come on.
All right. Al,
I remember I was 22 and I took a 45-year-old lady to Perkins from New York, New York, man.
We must be related, my friend. I met my wife in New York, New York, the love of my life.
That place is legendary.
I got news for you. I don't want to hear about this creepy stuff. We're the ones who taught them how to do this.
That's cool. Thank you, Al. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
You're welcome, my friend.
Roxanne, you're getting a ton of text messages.
A ton of them. Here's one of the best. I think it's a woman, yes. And so she says she would tell, if someone told her she was too old to be in a club, I'll tell her to take her butt back to daycare and drink some Kool-Aid.
That's right. Take your butt back to daycare. Burn. Wow. Listen, I see what this tally is coming at. I mean, there's some pretty creepy older guys at some of these clubs.
Come on. You know, also, what about all of the younger ladies that are looking for the sugar daddies? What about that whole deal as well?
That's a good point. This Talia seems to have a job, so maybe it's not what she's looking for, but
what else?
When you start drinking enough, I mean, can you even discern people's age, right?
That's so immature. So you're suggesting to the younger women out there that just get liquored up and
get her a Kahlua and Ensure.
Let me do a confession for you guys. When I used to go to the nightclub, I used to think I was like the best dancer ever. And something happens after you have children and your hips don't move the same. And I like do not belong on a dance floor at a nightclub.
And then
ever.
You start looking like Elaine on Seinfeld.
Yes.
Doing the herky.
You get to see Roxanne dance. You know, let's video her dance, you club know, dance.
That's a good idea. Let's get the video department in here. Let's set up a mock nightclub. And we've got the Beasley Performance Theater down the hall. Let's put you up on the stage and we'll put the lights on. And I want to see Roxanne dance like Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld. That's what I want to see. That'll be fantastic.
A before and after dance footage.
Give me one more text. Give me one more text message that you've gotten.
I'm truly offended that someone thinks that I don't belong in a nightclub. I'm in my 40s and I still look great. Okay.
Look at that.
When the lights are dim.
I told you, this is kind of a firestorm that has been started, you know, by this 22-year-old saying, hey, guys over 40, stay away from nightclubs. We don't want to run into our dad there.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. MJ and the crew here at 8:40. And I've got some science. Porch pirate science.
Science.
Has anyone here, any of the crew, Froggy still at home? Froggy comes back tomorrow. Froggy, have you guys ever at your house been a victim of a porch piracy? Ever have a package that was delivered and somebody pilfered it from the porch?
Just in my old house, the one guy who tried to steal my carpet that was leaning up against the house, and I caught him, and he started going, no, just looking at your trees. I'm a tree trimmer. And he had my carpet in his arms.
Hold on. What was that story?
Remember, I was getting a big carpet delivered, like an area rug, and it was leaning up against my front door.
Oh, it was wrapped in plastic. It was a big. Oh, that's right, a big rolled up area rug, and it was all wrapped in that heavy duty plastic for shipping. And the guy
walked up, threw it over his shoulder. He starts walking away, and I saw him because my office was right at the window. And I go, "Hey, what are you doing?" And then he looks up at my trees. He goes, "Your trees need trimming. I'm just going to trim trees." I'm like, "You have my carpet on your shoulder."
Was this? Did you say it was a neighbor?
No, no, no. It was just some random guy. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said it was a neighbor.
No, it wasn't a neighbor.
Oh, so
it was some random dude
that claimed that he was in the. You know what? I've heard that's. Maybe I remember from you that some people that if they're cruising through neighborhoods, that's one of the excuses. Oh, you know, I'm a tree trimmer and I just look for trees and I go to people's houses and say, hey, listen, I'll give you a good deal for tree trimming. All right, Fester, you guys ever have a package ripped off at your house? Have you ever been a victim of porch piracy?
I don't think so. Well, I don't think so. I think we have a little shrubbery area, and my wife leaves directions, like when she orders something, leave behind the. Well, I don't want to say that, and now everybody knows we leave it behind the shrub. But yeah, I don't think we've been robbed.
All right, Coop, you ever been burgled or you ever have a package stolen?
No, not that I can remember. I don't really order a lot of things online.
All right, well, here's the deal, and we've got some science.
Science.
Package theft. Do you know what days of the week porch piracy is most prevalent?
I'm going to recuse myself.
You know the story. Yeah. All right,
she's a porch pirate. That's how she knows.
Exactly.
I'm going to recuse myself.
Because I'm very busy on these days of the week.
it's Mondays and Tuesdays. So the smart home security company, Vivint, they polled 1,000 people about previous experiences with package theft. So they actually had it narrowed down to people that did have packages stolen, 1,000 people. First of all, it turns out that 29% of people as a whole have had packages stolen. So almost a third of people that are listening right now most likely have had a package stolen from their house.
I tell you, MJ, I would have guessed those days anyway because people are ordering stuff on Friday and Saturday when they're home and they get 1 or 2 day delivery.
You know what? Let me give out the number real quick. Have you been the victim of a package theft? Have you had a delivery and a porch pirate stole your package? 800-990-1047. Fire up the phones. Just a quick call. 800-990-1047. Have you been the victim of a porch pirate, your package stolen? 800-990-1047.
Could it be it's busy on Monday and Tuesday because porch pirates are just like the rest of us? We're most productive at the beginning of the week on a Monday and Tuesday. We're go-getters. Go get those packages.
Mondays, for whatever reason, yeah. Though, I don't know. Mondays and Tuesdays are the worst days for package thefts in America. And this is also another very interesting stat. That a lot of people do not get a refund. A lot of people do not actually receive a refund. It's nearly half. I was startled by this. That according to the research, nearly half of all victims of porch pirates who have their packages ripped off, they do not receive a refund for the stolen merchandise. That's kind of shocking. And, you know, of course, the most common stolen items are Amazon Prime shipments. That's the most common, Amazon Prime. Nikki's in Holiday. Nikki, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hi. So I bought these torch lights, like the ones that are solar lights, but they look like torches.
Yeah.
And I had them in my front patio. And then one day they were gone, and we were here. The car was here. There was even an ADT sign right where they stole one of them.
Yeah, that worked. Right, so wait a minute. So you're telling me these weren't delivered. This wasn't a package. Someone just ripped the torches out of your yard and walked away with them?
Exactly. Exactly. And I called Amazon just to let them know and see if I had, like, any recourse. And they actually said that they would give me a one-time courtesy and refund it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wait a sec. So you had already unpackaged them, and they were just on this. So how long after you got the delivery did someone steal the torches out of your yard?
I had them for like a month.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Thanks for the call. Let me grab Jennifer in Riverview. Hi, Jennifer. Have you had a package stolen recently?
Yes, actually. We had packages stolen from our porch. However, we never ordered them. We had a neighbor who was ordering them to our house with a stolen credit card.
Oh, my.
Would watch our house for when it was delivered and then walk across the street and pick it up.
Oh, my.
Unfortunately, they were getting, you know, the notifications that it was being delivered. A couple of times we were able to pick up the packages as soon as they were delivered, not realizing they were delivered incorrectly. And this person had rang our doorbell saying, oh, by the way, you got one of our deliveries. So we handed it off a few times, and then a couple other times, we opened it up, realized this wasn't for us, called the companies, and this person, our neighbor across the street who we did not know, came to our door, banging on the door, screaming for us to return the packages.
My God.
That we had to call the police.
That's a whole different racket. Unbelievable. Thanks, I appreciate it. All right, Coop, tell the other callers I don't have time, but thanks. I mean, the phone's just lit up on this. All right, it's 8:46. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, 8:59. The Tom Brady story is pretty interesting. I asked the question, So with the whole Afghanistan situation, our troop withdrawal, what does Tom Brady have to do with Afghanistan? Tom Brady, I mean, quarterback of the Bucks. He's in a Subway commercial for 0.8 seconds. I'm Tom Brady. that's one of the spots he's in.
He's really not in the commercial. I thought it was be like his whole commercial. It's a Steph Curry commercial, and he's like in fucking nanoseconds.
Wait, I'm Tom Brady. you see the you know, Subway's trying to, you know, rehabilitate the brand. So Tom Brady, what does he have to do with Afghanistan? Well, let me tell you the story on Tom Brady and Afghanistan. It turns out there's an Afghani translator by the name of Noor, N-O-O-R. And he has been in the U.S., but he asked the U.S. government, please, please, please help relocate my family, because he was pretty confident that his work as a translator for U.S. troops for years, that that would make his parents and his siblings a target of the Taliban, right? So he has been watching in fear as the Taliban has taken over the country, et cetera. We all know what's happened in Afghanistan. So where does Tom Brady come in? Well, he's been submitting paperwork. His family members, they were able to get the SIV, which is the special immigrant visa to get out of Afghanistan and come to the United States. Well, guess what? The family members were told that if you could make it to a certain gas station not far from the airport in Kabul, Afghanistan, before we pulled out, if the family could get to this gas station, they would have contact with a U.S. Marine. And they would help extract them. This is one of these backstories.
Okay.
And they were supposed to meet at the gas station, and the code word, so they knew that this group of people were the ones that were to be extracted and gotten to the airport to get evacuated, the code word was
Giselle.
Tom Brady.
Get out of here.
That's amazing. Yep. I mean, how would that make you feel? I know he's won many Super Bowls, but that's pretty high status.
And the reason is the Marine who was instrumental in trying to get the family out, the Marine was part of a unit where Noor had translated, I guess, for a long time. And turns out this Marine, the Marine's name is Moulton. And this Moulton is from Massachusetts, and that's how the code name became Tom Brady, even though Tom Brady is not with the Patriots anymore up in Boston. He's now, obviously, with the Buccaneers here in Tampa.
So that was the code word to get this Afghani family out.
Is that amazing? So they're in Afghanistan at a gas station. You got, you know, the place is going to hell in a handbasket. And the code word for your extraction to get to the airport and to get out of the country, it's Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 9:10. That's right. It is 9:10 on the MJ Morning Show. All right, so the Britney Spears matter here. Again, as I said, I like Britney Spears. I feel bad for Britney Spears. I think that she's, subject to things she can't control. I think she does have clearly some psychological issues going on. It's good to see the father out of the conservatorship thing. Did Britney Spears need some type of guidance? I think the answer is yes. Did Father Jamie Spears take complete advantage? I think also the answer is yes.
I think she's a 16-year-old trapped inside a 30-something, late 30-year-old's body.
Yeah, like 39 or 40 now,
right,
isn't she?
Yeah. Right, and you know, just that arrested development because she rocketed to fame when she was a kiddo.
Yeah, no, a lot of these child stars have issues. You know, she started out, Mickey Mouse Club, right?
Yeah, with Justin and Christina.
I mean, I think they turned out okay, but, you know, just not all do. Anyway, the update is that Britney Spears is not going to face charges for allegedly smacking a cell phone out of her housekeeper's hand. And you know, something's just not right with this story. So the housekeeper claims that she was retrieving the dogs from the vet. They got into an altercation, and the housekeeper was making comments about the dogs and Brittany and I guess the care for the dogs in the house. And that's when the housekeeper allegedly says that Brittany smacked the cell phone out of her hand.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Hit that cell phone.
Yeah,
hit
that. What was that?
It's an oops, I did it again.
Oh, I thought that was Froggy for a second.
Is that her in the song?
Yeah, at the very beginning.
Sounds like an animal mating call. And this is the spiny aardvark looking for a mate. My God. All right, so Brittany's not going to be criminally charged. News came down yesterday after she allegedly slapped the phone out of her housekeeper's hands during an argument. According to the Ventura County District Attorney yesterday, the misdemeanor unit supervisor, Blake Heller, thoroughly reviewed the case submitted by the Ventura County Sheriff's Office and declined to file charges based on insufficient evidence that a crime had occurred and the lack of injury to the housekeeper or significant damage to the phone, according to Eric Nasarenko, the district attorney.
So this housekeeper no longer works for Brittany, right? I mean, they've parted ways.
Yeah, I can't believe that after this that the housekeeper's still going to be employed. But yeah, I tell you what, it seems to me that this is probably jacked up and trumped up a little bit. And the housekeeper looking for some kind of, payment to keep quiet, maybe? Or now that criminal charges won't be filed, are we going to see a civil lawsuit? Is the housekeeper now going to say, oh, my back hurts because when she hit my hand, it tweaked my back, and now I've got L2 and L3 problems, and I can't turn my head, and I can't sleep. I can't have sex with my husband and, lack of consortium, the whole nine yards here,
Brittany would have been better off just calling Molly Maid and having them do the housekeeping.
Exactly. So, yeah, she said that it didn't go down like that. She said, story. Yeah, the housekeeper told the police that the fight was over Brittany's dogs and that Spears had slapped the phone from her hand. The responding officer said the housekeeper had no visible injuries whatsoever. There was only, I guess, some separation from the phone screen protector, which, that could have been existing anyway, prior. Yeah, what are you laughing at, Froggy?
I don't think I ever need to hear another Britney Spears story again.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm already so tired of her again.
I was eager to hear something from her when she came back and started, taking these semi-nude pictures on Instagram. And instantly, I'm like, okay, go away again forever.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess in this particular case, it is true.
Leave Britney alone!
Don't tell me you're in. You son of a gun.
No criminal charges.
Leave Britney alone.
For Britney Spears.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. It's 9:27. All right. So I had no idea. I had no clue whatsoever that this celebrity had this kind of money in real estate. Or is it just grossly overpriced? I'm thinking it's grossly overpriced because this celebrity has had a home on the market in Malibu. Oceanfront home on the market for a year for $100 million asking price. Do you know the celebrity, Fester?
No.
Froggy, do you know the celebrity?
Is that Kim talking in the background?
Hello, Froggy?
I think his wife is yelling at him.
Hello, Froggy. Come in, Froggy.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Your wife is yelling in the background. What is...
She's in a heated meeting right now.
What is going on at your place? All right, Froggy's still at home. COVID quarantine. COVID quarantine for Froggy ends tomorrow.
Oh, thank God.
You have no idea what we're talking about. All right, Roxanne, did you look it up? Do you know?
You know what? I'm a terrible Googler today and every day. I cannot find it.
All right, $100 million home. Let me give you a hint. Who's the celebrity?
Tom Cruise.
What did you say?
Did you say Cruise?
Tom Cruise?
Mission Impossible.
This is not Mission Impossible music. Come on.
Yes, it is.
This is not Mission Impossible music.
I bet you $100.
Okay, I'll bet you $100. Yes, okay, fine. This is not Mission Impossible. That's James Bond.
Sean Connery.
No bet.
What?
No bet.
What do you mean no bet? No, you can't take it back. No, you owe me $100. Coop, can you get Mission Impossible music, please? Do you have that? Get me some. This is James Bond music.
I think it's Austin Powers.
Yeah, it's closer to Austin Powers than it is Mission Impossible.
It's the theme to James Bond. All right, so do you have Mission Impossible?
I think so.
Yeah, here we go. Right, Froggy, this is Mission Impossible. Dude, you owe me $100.
I can't hear you guys.
Okay, so is it the current James Bond, or is it like one of the old school ones, like Pierce Brosnan or Sean Connery's estate?
Well, Sean Connery's no longer with us.
He's dead.
Roger Moore is no longer with us.
He died?
Roger Moore died a long time ago.
I had no idea. I would have bet he was alive.
Yes, you mentioned the name.
Daniel Craig.
No,
it's... Pierce Brosnan?
Pierce Brosnan, yeah.
Oh.
Pierce Brosnan has yanked his $100 million home off the market. It was on for 1 year, and nobody made an offer. You think maybe it's priced a wee bit too high?
I mean, I'd have to see the place, but
maybe it's just perception of changing it to $99.99. That would really get attention.
Guess who took a look at the house and did not make an offer?
Who?
Dr. No. Get it?
That's not bad. I've never seen a James Bond.
Doctor, no. Everybody was Doctor No. Nobody made an offer.
Froggy, you've never seen a James Bond movie.
I think they're overrated.
Anyway, Michelle, I told the story. Michelle, for whatever reason, my lovely wife, got into this James Bond kick, and she wanted to watch all the James Bonds. She is actually a really good value. On Amazon, she bought a 24 DVD. We're talking Blu-rays, and I'll tell you what. The digital transfers from the old films to Blu-ray, it's phenomenal. Michelle bought 24 James Bond movies in a Blu-ray set for $76. I mean, that's a hell of a value for 24 DVDs of all the Bond movies.
Yeah.
Other than the remake, the remade Sean Connery Moonraker one.
Here it is. Yeah. Pierce Brosnan made his fortune off of the Remington Steele episodes in syndication.
Really? Yes. Anyway, so I'm thinking that his property is maybe priced just a little too high. All right, on to Dancing with the Stars here. And is this really... I know that you want to, like, sometimes have some controversy, and you want to attract interest and, you know, have a factor of, oh, man, wow, what's that going to be like? Apparently, the rumblings are, I don't know if it's official yet, but I saw the latest rumor, the latest report is that Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, is going to be one of the next celebrities on Dancing with the Stars. And she's famous for what? She's famous for her parents tried to bribe the USC, they were part of that racket for USC in Southern California, and they were like fake crew team members, her and her sister, right?
She never even crewed a crew boat.
She never picked up a paddle or an oar in her life.
She's famous for not getting into USC.
Yeah, that's why she's famous. So now she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars as Lori Loughlin. She did some jail time, didn't she?
She did, and then her husband did.
Yeah, he's like a designer or something. So, yeah, they did jail time in that whole college admissions scandal. So do we really need Olivia Jade, Lori Loughlin's daughter? Lori Loughlin's claim to fame was Full House.
Full House, yeah, with John Stamos.
Yeah, do we really need the daughter that was part of the admissions scandal to be on Dancing with the Stars?
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Final award-winning segment here on a Thursday on Q105 and... that. Anyone have an updated guess on what that is? What is the significance of this? What is it? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone?
Roxanne had a pretty good guess.
What is it?
We were talking about trying to get a calf to put in the back of my car.
Yeah, well, we had...
Yeah, that was my guess.
Yeah, it's a good guess. Yeah, this is because of the story we had about the woman that took video of a calf, in the backseat of a Buick at a McDonald's drive-thru in Wisconsin. And I said to Fester, hey, that's your next stunt. We're going to jam a cow in the back of your car, and you're going to drive around. That is a very good guess, Roxanne, but it's not what I'm looking for.
Really?
The answer... Did you see the video of the cow that was rescued from the tree in Louisiana after the hurricane?
Who knew cows could climb trees?
They can't. The water was so high, the cow was swimming and ended up high in the tree.
That's insane.
That's how high the storm surge was. From St. Bernard Parish, workers were rescuing a cow, a full-size cow that was stuck in a tree. And clearly the floodwaters were so high, the cow swimming got into the tree to save itself. And the cow was alive, and the cow was safely rescued. So it's a happy ending here on the MJ Morning Show. So
delicious ending.
What's in the future for that cow?
It was a dairy cow, Fester. Hey, I just got an email. I was just checking MJ at MJMorningShow.com. Again, folks, love getting contact. Any hot tips, if you have any information for the show, you have any material for us, hot scoops, gossip, comments, questions, you want to get a hold of me, my personal email is MJ@MJMorningShow.com. That's MJ@MJMorningShow.com. Just got an email from Laura, and Laura says that her friend is a real estate agent out in Los Angeles, and they were talking recently about the Pierce Brosnan home on the market for $100 million in Malibu. And Laura says that the friend says the house is overpriced by double, that the house is maybe worth half of $100 million. It's like a double lot in Malibu on the Pacific. But who knew Pierce Brosnan made that much money? He's got a $100 million house.
Well, when did he buy it? He could have been. Yeah. He's been sitting on it for 40 years.
Yeah. So he bought two lots, and he bought them cheaply about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And then ended up building like this big estate and all kinds of different buildings. And so now he wants $100 million for it. But I had no idea that Pierce Brosnan, you know, had, you know, that kind of wealth and resources. I had no clue at all.
It's pretty shocking.
Yeah. He did, I think, 4 James Bond movies. Anyway, paying double for a house. We have that local story. Who the hell bought Stamkos'
house?
Who bought Stamkos' house on Davis Islands for $16 million? Whoever, that house might be worth $7 to $8 million tops.
Yeah, my offer was quickly rejected on that property.
Yeah, would you $290,000?
That was it.
Was that it?
Yeah, it was cash deal.
A cash deal.
It was a cash deal.
And you'd close in 2 weeks, right? Yeah.
Highest and best, huh?
Yeah. And Stamkos' house on Dave, somebody literally paid double. Somebody overpaid for that house by double. That house is not worth $16 million. It's unbelievable. All right, finally, before we get out of here today, Coop, what's the deal? Now it's a Coke and wasabi challenge?
This is the newest craze, Coke and wasabi.
And you being a Generation Z-er, 23, 24 years old, this is the kind of thing that you see on this TikTok thing, right?
Yeah, this is like a newer trend.
All right, I'm kidding.
Do not snort wasabi. That is bad.
All right, so let's listen to this. This is a guy that's having a tough time, taking a whole bunch of a big wasabi ball and then, washing it down with Coke?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, my. I'm telling you, man, TikTok has people with IQs of 5. All right, listen.
A new challenge alert, the wasabi and Coke challenge. We all know wasabi hot as shit, and we all know soda burns that heat. You got to eat the motherfucking ball of wasabi and then drink some Coke after. I'm going to start the challenge off.
Oh, jeez. Big ball of wasabi in his mouth. Now he's drinking the Coke.
My fault, y'all. Damn.
Is he like... Oh.
Hey, don't do that.
It hurts just watching.
Y'all don't do that, bro.
Oh, he's coughing it up. His eyes are watering. It looks like the guy's head's about to come off. Oh, man. I'm telling you. TikTok has lowered the aggregate IQ in America by 100 points. Folks, have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.